Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, we're back for episode 36 of From Long Distance to Marriage. And this week we're going to cover kind of one of the less happy topics that comes with long distance, and that's when and if it's time to decide to call a long-distance relationship quits. So this isn't one that was requested. This is one we've kind of had dog-eared to do for quite some time, something that we've had experience with, and really one of the ugly truths of long-distance.
Yeah, so we haven't really requested, but we do see this come up a lot in the broader community, with people saying, is it time, or they don't want to, or one of them thinks they should. And I think what makes a difference to a normal relationship is that the distance itself is the reason a lot of people want to call it quits.
Yeah.
So I think maybe before we start talking about when you should, maybe we should talk about why some people feel they should, and when they might want to just stick with it for a little while. Because they're all difficult. You know, that distance is always going to be a challenge. And I think the conversation to have is, how long are you prepared to do it for? And is there actually any light at the end of the tunnel? So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we don't need to see one and then the other. Maybe it all ties in together. In a nutshell, is anything looking to be on the horizon where it will change? So, you know, we had it when we were just too young, and we knew that neither one of us is going to be earning enough money anytime soon to see each other with any sort of regularity.
Or move.
You know, we were both sort of in school. Uni. But you know, that, so that, we knew that, we're able to be pragmatic about it. But then if you're saying, well, actually, I'm leaving school next year, and then I'm going to be working, and I'm going to be on this kind of salary, and, you know, so if you're able to really sit down and talk and say, is the situation going to be changing at any point in the near future, or at a point in the future when you're both happy to wait that long, that you can then, you know, sort of have that something to look forward to. But I think if you haven't got that something to look forward to, and you know your situation's difficult and it's not looking like it's ever going to improve, I think that's when people start to wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I think there can be a lot of different reasons, but it all comes back to one thing, and that's the distance. Now, it might be one of you is too jealous, but that probably comes from the distance. It might be money. You know, you can't afford to see each other enough. But I think
I don't think it is all the distance. I think we've seen a lot of people who, for example, we've had people reach out to us who actively try and get a long distance relationship because they're insecure. They worry about, you know, I couldn't meet anyone in real life. You know, I couldn't go to a bar and meet someone. Like, they haven't got the confidence, or they don't think they're attractive enough for someone to be interested in. So they try and have these relationships online instead, with the hope that it will progress. But, you know, in that instance, the distance itself isn't necessarily the problem there. It's, like, the reason they got into that long-distance relationship in the first place is the bigger problem.
Yeah, but I still think that largely the reason long-distance relationships can fail is because of the distance. Yeah, sure, there's going to be other stuff.
Oh, yeah, they can fail because of the distance, yeah.
But I think that's a huge part of it. It's an extra challenge. I mean, relationships are hard enough, you know, in, like, given the most perfect scenario. But you add distance in. Distance adds so many other feelings.
Yeah.
And I think what it comes down to is people want to be together when they're together. And not being able to do that is really challenging and really painful. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's other things, like cheating, you know, that's...
But I think distance can also expose your personality. So, if you're someone who... well, you know, if one of you in that relationship is really putting the effort in, and they're making that effort to talk and stay in touch, and the other one isn't, and they're more concerned with spending time with their friends, and they'll just check in with you whenever they feel like it. You know, you can see who's making the effort, and I think it exposes that side of you. If you're lazy, relationship, you're non-committal, that yeah. person, you know, you're not really showing them that you value them, or that you're not showing them they add value to your life. So yeah, the distance adds all the problems you mentioned, but I think it's not the only variable.
It's not, but it does kind of magnify the variables and make them much harder. Like, yeah, if someone's not going to be putting in very much effort, firstly, I think it's important to remember that at no point is everyone in a relationship, are both people putting in 100%. Like, that very rarely happens. Like, even in our marriage, there's times when I'm feeling a bit more in tune to things, and when you are, and it doesn't always line up. Like, life happens, outside factors affect a relationship. So just because someone's maybe not being as attentive as you want them to be, that doesn't mean that it's over. You know, I mean, they just might be overthinking something else or busy in another area of their life. But if it's something that someone does consistently that you don't feel like they're putting in nearly as much effort as you are, firstly, are you putting in way too much effort? And secondly, if they're not willing to put it in, you know, is that not right? So there are things like that that happen in normal relationships that will affect a long distance relationship. But again, that distance just magnifies it all.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I guess in terms of deciding when it's not right, I think it's going to be harder if you've already met this person to kind of let go of things. But that being said, if you haven't met yet, there's that kind of wonder and hope and hanging on to what could this be. But I think it's going to be different for every situation, to be completely honest, you know, whether or not you should call it quits or keep trying. But really, I would say it's like with any other relationship. Have you tried everything? You know, and before you decide, okay, well, this isn't working, let's call it quits.
Yeah, there's just so many variables with it. I know that, you know, you haven't got the opportunity to go over to their house. And if you're living at home and you've got parents who say they're not coming in this house, you know, they're not staying here, that adds a challenge because maybe they can afford to come and see you, but affording to be in a hotel and maybe hire a car and all that on top, maybe that's just not feasible. Maybe it's certainly not feasible to do that every year, twice a year, whatever. You know, so you've got the other factors then of what your family is prepared to do. You know, can you get the time off work? We've said before that we were really lucky when we met that we were able to spend a month together because my family were happy for you to come and stay. You were teaching, so you had ample time off over that summer. I was working for myself, so I had the flexibility of my schedule. Like, if we'd had normal, everyday jobs,
that wouldn't
have happened.
Especially for our distance. It's one thing if it's a couple-hour flight away or something.
And, like, your parents, they were happy for me to come and stay in your house, but I had to sleep in a separate room. So if the financial situation of your parents had been different and they didn't have that extra room, I wouldn't have been able to stay.
On the couch, maybe?
Maybe on a couch. I wouldn't have been there for 6 months on a couch, you know.
But mattress.
But you know what I mean? So we were lucky.
Yeah, we really were.
In the, with our circumstances is what we're able to do. But for anyone who hasn't got that, it all comes back to the distance is the reason for that. But the finer details within the situation are what differ for everyone. Just, if we can't say we close the distance, it's totally possible anyone can do it. There are going to be challenges that people face that we didn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only reason we were able to do it is because we tried again. You know, had we not kind of kept in and out of touch a bit after things didn't work out the first time, we very easily could have just gone our separate ways and never 100%. Ever tried again.
Yeah, 100%.
And in that instance, it would have been, it was because of the distance. Yeah, it came down to us not having enough money, but the distance was the challenge.
Yeah. So, but when it comes down to when to call it quits, well, because the other thing is, and we've kind of touched on this in other episodes, is you've also got different pressures from the people around you in a long-distance relationship. You know, if you're in a normal relationship and your friends and family may know your partner, they're normally okay. But, you know, with long distance, there's the, why can't they find someone from their own country? What do they want with you? I'm worried they're, you know, just a predator online. I don't want you moving away. Mm-hmm. You get all those kind of things. I'm hearing from people quite a lot with that. So not only is it difficult for you on your own trying to figure out this distance and to figure out how you're going to see them, can they come and visit you, can you visit them, are you going to live together? You've also got this the people in your inner circle, in your actual physical life, telling you you're making the wrong decision, you need to be worried, putting doubts in your mind about the person you've chosen, the relationship you've chosen. You know, so you get all this extra pressure. And then, but then that magnifies because you think, well, if I do break up, am I doing it because I felt like it was the right decision or because all these other influences got the better of me?
And that's really hard because obviously if there's genuine safety concerns or people, family, friends, people have really strong opinions about our relationships.
We do have an episode on this. So the episode called Preparing to Meet for the First Time. I'll find the episode number now, but that will be worth listening to if that's your situation.
While you find that, I'll just kind of crack on. People, no matter what your situation, people have strong opinions about your relationship, you know. Whether those are positive or negative doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad bad strong opinions. But you throw distance in there and suddenly people have much stronger opinions, I think. Not in every situation. I mean, if you're dating someone just normal, same town, and they're a very dangerous person, people are going to probably have stronger opinions about that than just some harmless guy.
Episode 16, preparing to meet your long distance partner for the first time.
Yeah, 16.
We also have this as a downloadable PDF on our website if people want to check that out. Episode 16. Sorry to interrupt.
Twice. Yeah, basically I'm just repeating myself because I keep losing where I am. But yeah, opinions can play a large part. And unless there is something really genuine that your friends or family are saying about this person, it's really hard, but you have to try and not let that persuade your opinion unless you share those concerns. You know, if you're sharing concerns, sometimes it's really hard. We can all be a little bit stubborn. And if we're worried about something, there's a little grain of doubt in our mind and someone else voices it too, we can be like, no, you know, and like really blind to it or try and stamp it out. Yeah. And that's important not to do just because you're trying to prove a point or you don't want your parents to be right, that this person isn't right for you. You really have to listen to yourself. So it's a really difficult balance of no, like, yeah, you can have your opinions. I'm not asking for them. I need to go with my gut and actually listening to your gut if it's telling you something isn't right, you know, about this person from like a safety or truth. Maybe you think they might be lying about who they are. Those things are really important to listen to. I think another episode that would be beneficial to listen to would be the catfishing episode, particularly if you haven't met the person you're in a long distance relationship with. There might be some red flags that are signs to you that maybe you should back out of this situation.
Yeah, so I mean, bringing it back to the episode title then, when should you break up? I think that can broadly be broken down into one, you kind of starting to have doubts because the situation itself, you know, what we already mentioned, you're not going to meet, or you just don't see it really being feasible. But I think the other way is you've got doubts about the person.
Yeah.
You know, have they set off these alarm bells? Are there red flags? Yeah, are you preparing to meet and they keep backing out and they keep going quiet and they keep making these kind of excuses that don't really sound right? And, you know, it's always important with that to make sure they don't sound right, not just because you're a bit paranoid.
There can also be something when you have met, too. And I think you find this a lot in kind of quote-unquote normal relationships where you're not long distance, maybe you met through friends, you met at work, whatever, or even met online in your local town. And I don't know, this is something that I noticed a lot in guys when I was younger. Maybe girls do it too. I don't think I ever really did it. But you meet someone, you go out a couple times, and then they just fizzle out. Like, they don't completely ghost you. Like, they'll kind of text you or talk to you a bit.
Yeah,
but it's just like the interest isn't there. But sometimes guys just won't come out and say, like, you know what, this, I'm not really interested, this isn't...
Well, I think that raises another point, that touching on what you said before, but if you don't meet, you have the wondering and a what if. If you do meet, and it's kind of like that, then you can have the wondering of, oh, maybe we just need one more meeting, maybe it's because we haven't spent enough time together, maybe they're not fully out of their shell. And whatever it is, you can just start to build up this narrative in your head of, if only something was a bit different, it's only because we haven't met at all, it's because we've only met once or twice, and
yeah,
you can always go down that rabbit hole a little bit further. And I think ultimately when you need to call it quits is just when you, if you know, you know, I think for me. If you don't know, I think we've, I can't remember what episode it was, but we have spoken before about how people in your life should be there because they want to be there. You know, so relationships end every day, it's unfortunate, but if it's the right thing, then it's better for everyone involved. But there are times, like you've said before, where one is putting in more effort than the other one, or I'm not taking that away, but on balance, you shouldn't be persuading someone to be with you.
No, that's not what I meant.
No, I know that's not what you meant. I'm just explaining that on balance, you shouldn't be persuading to be with you. So
you shouldn't be having to ask anyone to be in your life so continually.
Now, that doesn't mean have the arrogance to be like, I'm a catch, everyone should want to be with me. Maybe you are difficult. Maybe you...
We're all difficult in our own ways.
But I mean, have the self-awareness, be reflective, think, you know, am my actions pushing them away? Am I being a good partner? Am I doing what I, you know, am I the person that someone should be happy to be with? And if the answer to all that is yes, and you, but they're just, maybe they've changed or they're just not really interested, and you know, you generally have to really feel like you're not just making more effort in the relationship, but you don't even feel like you are in a relationship and you've got to drag them into it. Then, you know, I think 9 times out of 10, that's when you think you can have no concerns about cutting that tie. If you're asking yourself those questions and you think, actually, do you know what, I've been kind of mean lately and maybe I've been pushing them away and I'm not really demonstrating that I'm showing them my appreciation, them feeling like they're closed off a little bit could just be the response to how, you know, it's very... symbiotic, isn't it, you know, a relationship. Yeah. So if you're acting in a way that's not really conducive, you can't then be surprised when they don't seem very present. So just because they're not fully there, first I'd give yourself a little audit, and if you give yourself a pass, then maybe it's time to call it a day,
or at least find out why. You know, even if you can't identify, it's very hard to be aware of ourselves sometimes and the way we're acting. And there's been times you've said to me that I've been, like, really snappy and I wasn't even aware of it. Maybe I was stressed about something.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, if things feel weird, I think the first thing is you need to talk about it a lot and be like, you know, hey, I noticed that you're acting a bit different. Is everything okay? Have I done anything? Is anything bothering you? And if it's just like, no, whatever, then yeah, maybe start digging a little bit deeper. But there's also, on what you were saying about, like, reflecting your own behavior, it's a really tricky one because I think girls in general, and I hate to be kind of gender stereotyping, are a little bit more reflective of their emotions than men. I think we're a little bit more comfortable with the emotions that we feel at times and a bit more in tune with what we're feeling. And I remember talking to my friend at work, and she was saying that, like, her husband had made her mad and upset her. They'd had an argument. And then she was annoyed with him, and, like, he asked her something later that day, and she kind of barked back, and he's like, oh, so what, now you're going to be in a bad mood all day? And I think it kind of ties in with that. Like, you don't know, are you responsible for something, or is your tone reacting to something that they've done? It's all very...
I don't think that's anything to do with women being more in tune with their emotions, I think.
But that was just, like, a separate example.
Men are kind of less likely to talk about things, but we still feel it. But then, on that kind of thing, I think we're quicker to get over it. It's like, I'm annoyed about that. And I'm annoyed about that for 10 minutes or an hour. But then you're done. You know, occasionally, I'll drag it around a bit longer. But I think
that's different. Like, you will hold on to things, like, not for years or anything. But, like, you'll be mad at me for, like, a good day sometimes.
Rarely,
whereas though, I explode and I'm done. Yeah.
Rarely. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this.
I was trying to add what you said about how reflecting on yourself, like, sometimes I think that's probably easier for a woman to do than it is for a man. Like, if he's done something, maybe it's a bit more difficult to reflect and think, oh, she's acting strange. Have I done something? And really think back to those conversations. I'm just saying that some people might have to try a bit harder. No, I think men
aren't quite as verbal, but yeah, I haven't really seen anything to indicate women are better or worse than men at that. I think people generally aren't great at that because we're quite ego defensive, aren't we? It's like,
yeah,
I've been it's very easy, especially nowadays. This is what I fucking hate about social media culture, is that it's so easy to wrap yourself in this protective bubble of people who agree with you.
Yeah,
so in the past people would always say things like, yeah, celebrities, oh, that person got divorced, or that band broke up, or that whoever, people in the spotlight, you could say, oh, they were surrounded by yes men and they were never challenged, and everything in there, they thought they were just perfect. And now that's what social media allows anyone to do. You can have these people who don't even know you in real life, who...
sycophantic, sort of.
Yeah, 100%. So then,
and then you have the ability to block anyone that disagrees
exactly
with you.
Exactly, so you're in this little perfect bubble of, yeah, of course I did the right thing. Oh, I'm not, maybe I wasn't right in that. Let me put it on my Twitter feed. And then they're all going to say, oh, you were totally in the right. That person we don't know, who we haven't heard their side of the story, yeah, fuck them. You know, that's what it is. And it's so easy to be the victim. It's so easy to sort of shrink back and say, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't think it's a male-female thing. And when I suggest people do this...
I wasn't saying that women don't do things wrong.
No, I know you weren't. That's not what I'm saying. But when we suggest people do this little self-awareness reflection, like, yeah, it's... We mean be brutally honest with yourself and don't just think, oh, I'm going to put it on my Twitter and Facebook and let my friends tell me how great I am and it's all their fault. Really sit down honestly and say, you know, did I say something that made them react badly? Do I have a certain tone that I know can really make them feel upset or whatever? And did I use it? Really be honest. Don't involve other people in it, because it's really important.
Yeah, and I think...
And if we can promote another episode, the episode we did on is arguing in relationships healthy was all about this, and it was about how every argument is an opportunity to learn. You can figure out what upsets them. And this is something we really did learn from experience on this. We'd have arguments, they'd be like, I didn't think I said anything that triggered you. Well, actually, it was the way you said it made me feel this way. You know, or the tone you took made it sound like you were really angry and then I got defensive, or you accused me of this. Like, we learned through those arguments and then sort of having a debrief on that argument. And it's that kind of thing. Really, you know, get to know your partner and what upsets them, what makes them feel reassured, and then just be honest with yourself and look back and say, have I been acting in a way recently that makes them feel unloved or like I'm not interested?
Yeah, those are very important things to be like honest with yourself about, but I think really at the end of the day, the question you have to ask yourself if you're toying if whether or not it's time to call it quits, you know, relationships are always going to be work, and long-distance relationships are going to be pretty painful. But if it's gotten to the point where it's more pain and more work than what you're getting out of it, then that's when you need to start really, I think, questioning yourself, or not questioning yourself, questioning the relationship.
Yeah, there's this great quote, I don't know if anyone famous said it, I just read it recently, but it said, you know, if you've made a mistake, don't continue pursuing that mistake just because you've put a lot of time into it.
Yeah,
I think that's really, and it's kind of, you know, what have you got invested into it? Sometimes it's just, even if you've lost 5 years, okay, well, I've lost 5 years, I won't lose six.
Yeah,
so there's no harm in getting out. And I think also on this, the amount of people that you see in relationships because they're trying to change their partner, that's never going to work. If you're with someone and...
Oh, do you mean my efforts to totally change you aren't working?
Totally. But, you know, something I saw on Reddit recently, so I'm sure people reading this may have seen the same thing, but there was this, I think it was the girlfriend was talking about her boyfriend, and he was just this complete slob. She said, like, he just didn't look after himself. I mean, he sounded really, really depressed, in fairness. But she said, you know, he didn't take any care of his appearance. He was just kind of greasy and untidy, and he made an effort with her. And so all the comments are kind of like, it sounds like you're going to need to be his mother, basically. And that's not what you want. You know, you want someone who... There's no... Like, don't feel it's selfish to be quite discerning in who you choose. You're choosing someone to be your life partner and with you potentially forever.
Mm-hmm.
have high standards. Don't
potentially
have, like,
the mother or father of your children.
Exactly. Don't have standards so high that you can't get anyone. You know, be realistic, but have high standards. Don't settle for someone that you're going to look at and resent. Don't think, oh, fuck, I've got to mould this person into just a functioning adult. Yeah, like you just said, there are going to be things that you can suggest and try and refine as the years go by. But that's not fundamentally changing a person's personality. And all that's going to do is lead you to resent them, them to resent you. Get out of that one. If you want someone to have all these qualities, find someone who has them.
Yeah.
But or is also close to them and you know they're going to get there, you know.
Yeah. And make sure those qualities that you're really sticking to are the ones that really matter. You know, if it's like, oh, he has to have green eyes or she has to be blonde, like, well, get over that. That's stupid. But you know, I think if you look back in your past relationships, you'll see a theme. Like, I remember my friends and stuff saying, God, like, Andrea, you do not have a type. Because, you know, I married a guy that looked like he's, you know, came out of Guns N' Roses. My high school boyfriend was very, like, preppy jock type. And one of my college boyfriends was really, like, kind of nerdy, geeky. But what it all came down to is the people I chose were all really, really intelligent and really, really funny. So those are the things that mattered, you know, to me. Obviously, loyalty and things like that I learned over the years, too. But you find out what's important to you and what attributes in a partner are going to make you happy. And those are the things you need to stick to. And one of the things, if you're finding that this person doesn't have those things, then that's another sign that you should probably call it quits. But I think what troubles me a little bit, and I really don't want to alienate any of our listeners, but I think something I just said there's really important, and that's, you know, you learn from your other relationships. We see so many people online that are like 12, 13, 16, and their first quote-unquote serious relationship is a long-distance relationship, and that doesn't, maybe I just don't understand, but it doesn't sit well with me, because you need to have such, I think you need to have a pretty relationship-wise level head on your shoulders about this, and how can you do that if you've not experienced relationships?
Yeah, because you're not going to know what's normal, what's not normal. And also, like, long-distance relationships shouldn't be romanticized. Like,
no.
They suck.
Yeah.
And they're hard work, and they're only really worth it if the person that you're doing it with is worth it. But you miss out on a lot. You miss out on an impromptu, hey, should we just go and get breakfast?
Yeah.
And let's go and get ice cream. Let's just meet up today. You miss all that excitement and the butterflies and the,
I mean,
and just the learn. Like, it's all learning. And, you know, you're not going to have your first kiss until you close the distance at 22. Like, yeah, but occasionally they'll happen. But, like you said, let's not alienate anyone, but at the same time, a reality check. If you're fucking 12, 13, this relationship's not going to last.
No.
Okay, so sack it off. Find someone who you can actually meet in real life and work
and
on
learn from that.
And learn from that. But,
because, I mean, another point is that, so you and I started talking when we were 17. I'd had what, you know, the most serious relationship you can have at that age already. You'd had a few, like, kind of girlfriends, and it didn't work out for us. And then when we were, like, in between, you know, kind of attempts at being together, you had a pretty long-term serious relationship.
Yeah, and, you know, we lived together because we were students.
In the same housing,
so, yeah. And living with someone is such a different experience as well. And you know, we've had that conversation of how in an ideal world, you know, you wouldn't have liked that period of time to have happened. But at the same time, like, the experience we had that we were able to bring to this relationship meant that we saved ourselves a lot of problems, because I knew how to cohabit with someone, you know, and so did you to an extent. But it was like,
well, I hadn't done it still,
but you,
I certainly
that
was older and wiser. But I think, you know,
you'd done it. You're not a virgin. If anyone missed, yeah.
What?
You were like, I hadn't done it.
I hadn't lived with anyone.
Yeah, I'm just clarifying.
You'd
done it.
Yeah, I lost my virginity way before you did.
Yeah.
Not in a slutty way. But I think looking back now, and probably even, you know, early on when we started talking again, there were definite differences between your attention to my feelings and concerns and needs and stuff. Like, I remember, and some of that might have been because of the relationship, and some of it might have been because you were a few years older and wiser. when we were 17, 18 and like we'd scheduled a talk, you just wouldn't turn up and I wouldn't have a message and I'd find out that you'd gone to London for the day and I just wasn't made aware. Yeah, you do, like, just thoughtless things.
Yeah, I did, but also the technology wasn't there. Back then, there were times I couldn't really get hold of you.
Yeah, but you could have logged on and emailed me and said, oh, just so you know, my plans have changed, I'm going to...
Yeah, but you said I could have logged on, like, think back, there was one family computer. If I couldn't get on it, I couldn't get on
it.
That's
true.
Like, let's just
stop
clarify this.
Stop, like, disproving my point, though.
But for anyone listening to this, you can't have the same... Because nowadays, yeah, that shit wouldn't fly, because I could literally send you a text, or
but
a WhatsApp,
saying,
or a Snapchat,
though,
or a Facebook message.
I think the next time around, you tried a lot harder to be more like, hey, like, I'm going to my friend's, like, when you would go to Canterbury, like, the internet was terrible, and you'd say, just so you know, it's probably going to be really hard for us to communicate for the next couple of days, I'm staying with a friend, or, you know, whatever, I'm going
to
be out today.
Yeah, we came to the relationship with a lot of positive experience that...
And just knowledge.
And but I just... If you're young, I just think... Like I said, the relationship's not going to last for one. Until you don't look back and say, oh, I wasted my life talking to someone who only really exists virtually, you know, in a sense. And it's like, be realistic. Like for us, like you said, we were talking at 17.
But I also think that if we had been realistic... Maybe we wouldn't have made it at the same time. There's a dope...
Realistically, you know, we were of an age where we were at least having those conversations. If we were 12, 13, 14, 15, don't do it. Like, you're not going to get anything out of that. I honestly don't see anything to be gained from pursuing that at that age beyond friendship. Or pursue it, but if other opportunities come along, you know, then think carefully about them. But I just would advise against it.
I mean... This person that I'm going to mention is much older than, you know, 12, 13. But it was someone that I met on my flight. I may have mentioned this before. On my flight over here to meet you for the first time. She was a girl, probably a couple of years younger than me. So probably in her early 20s at the time. And, you know, we kept in touch. And she was really excited and stuff for me. And then she came to visit once. Because she was en route to meet this guy that she had met online. You know, somewhere. I can't remember where he lived. And she was like, oh, you know, I think it was afterwards, like after she stopped here on the way and stayed with us for a couple nights. And then she went on to see him. And it was after she'd gone home and like, you know, things weren't working out. It wasn't what she wanted or, you know, whatever. It wasn't going great. And I was like, well, if it's not right, then you need to end it. You know, like the distance is a lot, like just, you know. Before you get more invested and more hurt, maybe it's best now to cut your losses. And she's like, but I want what you have. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I want the fairy tale story. And I was like, fairy tales are dark. Like, everyone thinks fairy tales are these romantic things. Like, the Grimm's fairy tales were dark. And
but
it can be really shit in a long-distance relationship.
That's like a general pattern. That people never see the hard work. Like, you see an athlete in the Olympics and you just see the result. If you don't see the hours and hours and the sacrifices and them not going out for dinner with their family and they're in the... You know, you don't see all that and you don't see these famous actors struggling as waitresses and waiters and going through acting school. You never see the struggle and the hard work. You just see the end result. So, yeah, what looks at the outside for people like us... And I think anyone in a happy marriage and then anyone who's closed the distance successfully, it's easy to look at them and go, oh, you just got to find the right person. And you do, but there are still... hours and hours of hard work in there and
yeah,
communication,
I mean,
and like I said, the arguments and the debriefs to those arguments
or
and the planning and the
ER trips for me when I was having such bad panic attacks that, you know,
yeah,
that we were apart, like,
and the war, you know, I can't afford to come and visit, well then I'll see if I can make it work. Like, there was so much behind the scenes that people didn't see to just kind of think, oh yeah, they just met and then it happened. Like, it's ignorant.
It was ignorant.
She was ignorant.
Let's say it.
Huh?
Let's say it.
What?
I'm saying it was ignorant to think that.
No, she generally was ignorant.
Yeah. But no, it's a hard thing. And relationships in general, like I kind of started to say a bit earlier, it's going to be painful at times. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be amazingly fun and exciting at times. But if you're starting to find that you're feeling more worried and down and concerned and like you're not getting anything out of this anymore, then, you know, then that's really time to start thinking about it. I remember, I think it was pretty early on, in the podcast, someone messaged me, and I don't remember where the conversation went. I just remember this really sticking with me. They said, firstly, you know, I'm constantly jealous, not of just, like, his friends of the opposite sex, but, like, his friends of the same gender and his family, basically anyone that can spend their time with him. I'm so jealous, like, just because this was someone that messaged us. It's just, you know, I'm so jealous of anyone that gets to spend time with, not even in, like, a sexual or romantic way. Siblings, I think, you know, they were jealous of, because it was just not fair. You know, that, like, that's something you're going to have to deal with. Someone else messaged me and said, messaged us and said, oh, you know, my long-distance partner said how, you know, he feels like I'm just complaining a lot and things just aren't going very well. And it's like, well, it's really hard not to complain when you're long distance. Like, it's hard. You know, there's so many things that can go wrong in a relationship. And I just think long distance, for a number of reasons, for all of its benefits and for all the wonderful things that come with being a long distance relationship, it does give more opportunities. There's more opportunities for lies and deceit. There's more opportunities for meeting someone else because you're not there. There's more opportunities of just being really, really frustrated and unhappy because you miss the person you love. Like, it's shit. It's what I'm basically getting at.
Yeah.
But what
would... just to continue that, it's shit. So don't stick it out for just anyone.
Yeah.
Like, don't force it to work.
I mean, I've mentioned before, and I think, I can't remember which episode, a relatively recent one. You know, there was a period when Rich and I were long distance. We'd already met, and it was between our first and second visit, and, you know, I was really struggling mental health-wise. It was really getting to me, and I was at the point where it was too hard, and I was suffering more than I was feeling joy. Not anything because of what Rich was doing, but just because of my, anxious state. And I wanted to end it. And Rich was like, well, what is that? You know, you're not going to feel any better. It's not going to change anything. So you just really need to think about making sure you are quitting for the right reasons. That, you know, if this person wants to stick it out and try with you, that's something to take into consideration.
Yeah.
I mean, what would have been, like, the deciding factor for you? Do you know? Like,
to end it?
Yeah. Just if it went on for too long or...
Yeah, I think, realistically, I think both of us would have had a...
breaking point.
I
mean, I think I was close to mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. If I didn't really think it was worth it, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I guess just make sure you... Like, I think what you were saying about that girl was a really important point. Are you sticking this out because you like the idea of it? And you want to be able to have the sort of kudos and, oh, yeah, we did that. And you're having a fun story to tell. Or are you doing it because actually you really, really want to be with that person? There's a world of difference there.
And, like, you know, the way we met now doesn't really matter now.
But it's also, like, no big deal. Like, long distance.
Yeah, but, like, it doesn't matter who you tell our story to. Like, we went into the carpet store yesterday to order carpets and we're having some housework done, and the guy obviously noticed my accent being different and said, oh, how'd you two meet then? And, oh, we met online. And then, oh, tell me more. And he was really like, oh, that's really sweet, what a nice story. Like, some middle-aged man in a carpet store found our story sweet. Like, people do find it romantic, but for us, and, like, we do have moments for 100% where we think, God, I can't believe we made it. Like, it really is incredible that from two little towns on the other side of the world. Yeah, but
what trumps that is just the everyday relationship.
Exactly, like, that's what I'm saying now.
If you were just, like, a fucking pain in the ass to be with, like, that story wouldn't mean much to me.
What do you mean?
Well, if I was like, oh, yeah, I've got this amazing story, I can't fucking stand the bitch.
Like, no, but, like, well, I'm not that, so that's not even relevant. That's what I mean.
Like, the most important thing is the person. Yeah, okay, and not just chasing the story. But
even
still,
even though we are a really good match, obviously we have to work at it, but... One really nice thing that I take a lot of pride in is, you know, people do say, like, what a nice couple we are and, like, how well matched we are and how much fun we have together and how we never run out of things to talk about. Like, those things mean a lot to me because, this is the world that we've created, each other, our relationship. So, but what I'm saying, all that aside, it doesn't, like, how we met doesn't dictate what our marriage is now. like, no. and what our relationship is. Yeah, we have quite a unique and romantic story, and it does mean a lot to me, and we do think, like, oh, wow, you know.
But what means a lot is that it's our story. Mm-hmm. I think whatever relationship you're in has a story, and I think that's what will mean a lot to you. And I think, yeah, okay, it may mean a little bit more that it's a bit more interesting, but I think the main takeaway for people here is do it for the person, not the story.
But I guess what means a lot of what about it that means a lot to me is that we made it, and you know, we were right, and that we thought each other was worth it, and that we really had something going, and it was worth taking a shot at, and we were right, and we've been making really good on it.
Yeah.
But that's because of who we... Because
we chose the people. Because
we are, yeah.
You know, we don't want people thinking, oh, it's always worth it. It's not always worth it. And if you, like the person you mentioned, if you're just really pursuing it because you want the quote-unquote fairy tale, you're not going to enjoy it. You're probably going to close the distance and think, oh, well, this was the wrong decision.
I mean, that's like with getting...
And also think about what you're giving up. All the hours that you're in your room or whatever talking to this person, and you're closing the door on other relationships. If you are pursuing the wrong person, or you know, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, and the person's kind of irrelevant, they're just someone who's willing to be in the relationship with you, but really you're just looking for anyone who you can be in a long distance relationship with, you're turning down the prospect of the right relationship.
Yeah. 100%, babe. But do you have kind of your answer for this is time to call it quits? As mine was kind of, if it gets to the point where there's less joy than there is pain or concern or whatever.
I don't think that's it. I think relationships go through those phases, and some of them come back from the brink and some of them don't.
But I think if it goes on long enough...
Well, what's long enough? A week? A
well,
year?
It depends on everyone's, you know, situation.
I think really, I kind of have it in stages, and I think one of those stages is definitely, does that person want to be in that relationship, or are you really having to persuade them to be there? If that's it, get rid of them. Is that person worth being in your life, or are you actually just being a parent to them? Get rid of them. If you're both really struggling with the distance, and, oh, you know, I think we can do this in the next year or two, try and stick it out. If you're really struggling with distance and there's nothing in sight that's going to suggest that it's ever going to change, you know, it's sad, but move on. I think those are my three main ones, like self-respect, self-worth, and just, I think maybe the point about if it's never going to close probably fits into both of those anyway. Otherwise, what you're doing, you are absolutely consigning yourself to years and years and years of misery. It's not worth it.
I also think adding to that list...
It doesn't keep you warm at night.
I think worth adding to that list is kind of if you're seeing signs that this person is not willing to sacrifice and is not willing to compromise, because those are things... Closing the distance for one of you is going to require a lot of sacrifice. And then if you do get past that, compromise is going to be a huge factor as well. And marriage in general requires sacrifice compromise.
Let's touch on this a little bit, but I think we've mentioned this in the previous episode about feeling left out when you've closed the distance. But for anyone who hasn't listened to it, you know, these compromises is things like, or not just compromises, the difficulties are for you, you've got that homesickness, you feel left out of things, you don't see your family, you've got a long distance relationship with your family over there. For me, the compromise is if going to America more often, you know, well, I've never been prior to this relationship, but now it's like if we're going away, we go to America, obviously. Going to the same part of America, when we go to America, it's not a holiday, it's spending time with your family. And none of those are bad things, but it's things you don't consider beforehand. And I can well imagine two different personalities to ours, that both of those things being a massive cause of arguments. You know, if you're someone who's a bit more selfish, who's like, well, I don't want to fucking go back there again, I went there last year, I want to go to Spain. Like, yeah. You're going to have an argument for the person who's in your position. It's like, you're not worth it, I've given up all this, and you're not worth it. You know, just the personalities make all the difference there. But don't just because you've closed the distance, in some ways, that's just the beginning. So you've got to think, how is that person and I gonna fare at that next step? Are they giving you red flags, or are they indicating to you that, you know what, yeah, they're pretty mature and sensible, and I'm confident that when we're in that situation, we'll be able to do that, or not? And I think, going back to the same of being 12, 13, 16 years old, no is the answer there. There isn't going to be that maturity.
No, there's not.
Sort of compassion for the other person. You know, you have to have all of it.
The thing is, you know, when when someone uproots their entire life and moves to be with you over a considerable distance. Now, we're not talking, I don't think, like an hour or two. Like, that's still long distance. You don't get to see each other all the time. But the sacrifices, you know, being within a couple hours.
If you can get home the same day.
Yeah.
Go away.
Well, not even that, because 5-hour flight is pretty far, but that's the same day.
Yeah, but you're not going to go there for a date and then go home, probably.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean you can go home and back in a day? Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, I mean, if you can get home in a day, if it's an 11-hour flight. I mean, if you can leave your house and see them and get back to your house in the same day, then yes, that has its own problems, but it's not really the extent of what we're talking about.
No, not entirely. But yeah, I mean, if someone has uprooted a significant distance to come and be with you, you know, your priorities need to align with theirs, and their priority is going to be trying to fill their life with as much time with their family and friends as possible, for the most part, you know, unless they don't have those ties there anymore or whatever. But, you know, that is my priority still. Apart from, you know, my first priority is making sure that Rich and I have a happy, enjoyable, secure life together. But everything after that is staying in touch with my family, being a part of that, getting back there as much as I can. You know, like, it was tricky getting back from my brother's wedding this year because we had booked our tickets to go back to America for Christmas in, like, early March of 2018, to be there for Christmas of 2018. My brother got engaged in summer 2018, and I thought, oh my God, like, we're going out for Christmas, I want to get back. And, you know, we had to find out a way together to make it so that we could get another set of tickets within a few months to go back out there. And had Rich's priorities not been aligned with mine, that this is a family occasion, it's important, and I want my wife to be there for that, it would have been hell. I either would have had to, like, scrounge the money myself and go on my own and leave him, which would not have made me happy, or, you know, it would have been a big fight, and that's not fair. You know, I've been to many weddings on his side of the family, and it's important that we go to mine, too. So if you see that this, if you have concerns that, you know, maybe you wouldn't even end up moving for this person, but if you did, because, you know, I've moved for Rich, but that doesn't mean that maybe he's not going to have to move for me or us at some point.
I think this can all really be boiled down to, is this person worth...
Perthen.
Is this person...
Okay, Mike Tyson.
Is this person Mike Tyson worth all this?
Yeah. But that's what you should ask
really,
yourself.
But that really... To answer that question, the first question to myself is, do I know what I'm getting into? Because I'm sure... We didn't know what we were getting into. We knew that we wanted to be together, and then we pursued it, and everything else has sort of come later. But this podcast would have been really useful for us before, you know.
Well, maybe we could time travel.
But, you know, it seems like I just said to you, like, do you know what? I never thought that I'm going to be leaving all my family behind. I never thought that I'm going to be in another country, or that I'm going to be supporting the person who's left their family behind. And holidays are predominantly going to mean going back to see their family, and if I don't like my in-laws, then shit, that's hard work. Like, ask yourself those questions. Do you know what you're getting into? And if the answer is yes and you're happy to do it, then the next question is this the right person to do it with? And if the answer is yes, then pursue it. And then you get to the other points that I mentioned before, like, are you going to be their mother or their partner, and well, do they want to be in it? There's an order, I think, to really figuring out.
Because if it is, you know, the main question is, like you saying, is this person the right person? And if that answer is truly and honestly yes, then the rest of those answers will be the correct ones as well. Are they going to compromise? Yes. Are they going to be lazy about this? No. You know, those things will fall in place. So yeah, worry about if this is the right person, if they are worth it, and if you are important to them as they are to you, as important to them as you are to them, yeah, whatever, then, you know, those are the things you need to think about. But like Rich said, there's going to be things that start to hurt, you know, when you've given up for the distance that you're not even going to think about. Like, just kind of coincidentally, this weekend is my 8th anniversary for living in England. And, you know, that's made me feel a bit reflective and stuff. And I remember the year that I moved here, that was like a couple days after Father's Day. So a few days before I was flying out, you know, my whole family, we were at my sister's spending time with the family before I moved away. We went out for breakfast for Father's Day. And I remember my niece, who's like my favorite little person in the world. She's 11 now, but she was 3 and a half at the time. And she was pure magic. And I just remember sitting at the table, and she and my brother were across from me, and she started singing "The Ants Go Marching," which is like my favorite little nursery rhyme. And I just looked at her and realized I'm not going to see her grow up really now in the same way that I had been. You know, those first 3 and a half years of her life, I was there every 2 months, you know, visiting. I was at every birthday party, christening, everything. I was there. And it hit me, even though I knew, you know, going into the decision that I wasn't going to be around, like, when you see what you're going to be missing, I'm not going to see her sing cute songs, I'm not going to see this, I burst into tears at the table and buried my head in your shoulder. And then my brother across from me, it really got him, because then he realized, shit, I'm saying goodbye to my little sister today. Then he burst into tears at the table, or at least got quite teary. So there's going to be things that you don't realize when you give this up. And if that person is not enough, you'll know. If that person is not enough to give up that sweet little niece or your best friend or your mom or your dad, not give them up because they'll still be a part of your life, but not like you're used to and not like it was before. So put yourself at that table that I was sitting at. Whether you're the one that's going to end up moving or not, you want to know that that person is going to be worth missing out on all of that.
What was the episode we did where...
Wow, thanks for acknowledging that, really emotional. It is acknowledging.
I was going to say, what was the episode we did where you got really emotional?
I think it was about, like, maintaining relationships. I can't remember exactly what it was called.
Hang on, I'm going
to
look.
We had to stop it a bunch because I kept crying.
Yeah, you big wuss. Ow.
I hope you could hear that.
Yeah, she punched me.
Punched him right in the arm.
Was it balancing family relationships after you've closed the distance?
I think so.
Episode 29, so... I would recommend listening to that, because, I mean, that really ties in with this whole, do you really realize what you're getting into?
And is the person worth it? Because, you know what? It is super painful. And, like, today I'm having an off day. I dreamt a bunch about home and my family, and I'm a bit like, ooh, like...
But you know what? Things aren't worth it. Like, we've spoken about you're going to be their parent and all this and that. But also, like, just because they're cute or they're hot or they've got a good body or whatever, like, that's not enough.
That's not enough, no. In any situation. Because
if you're in that relationship, you think, oh... Would I still like them as much if that six-pack went? And the answer is no.
It's going to go.
And if it's not going to go, it's going to go at the, like, it's going to be maintained at the expense of you. So, you know, just really be honest. They think, oh, I couldn't not be with someone that pretty. Then that's a problem. Yeah, yes, obviously you want to be attracted to them, but there's got to be more substance than that. So
no, what was it? Because I'm still watching Mad Men. And... Don Draper said to his daughter, like, oh, she was like, you and mom are just the same. Like, anyone pays any attention to you and you just lap it up and you just start oozing. And I don't want to be like that. And he's like, you are like your mother and me. You're a very beautiful and bright girl, but it's up to you to be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, someone's hot. Don't turn them away, but make sure there's enough to keep you interested and keep you, you know.
I mean, unless it's like Michelle Pfeiffer hot. Then I'm on board. But generally, don't...
She's old now.
I'd still say yes. Yeah.
You're such a perfect...
But you know what I mean? Like, unless... It's got to be more than looks, unless it's, like, exceptional.
No, it still needs to be more than looks.
Like, I'm sorry, if Michelle Pfeiffer comes knocking, I'm packing my bags.
No, you're not.
I am.
You are?
Yeah. Plus, she's got the money to maintain me. I could visit, would have a lot of money.
She would not put up with your shit.
She would.
Why? What's in it for her? She's got to mother you.
I'm a catch. You know I'm a catch.
Yeah, but you're a lot of fucking work, too.
I'm worth it. Anyway, the point is...
I can't believe you just said that. After this whole fucking episode, Make sure this person's worth it and loyal and all this shit. I'm going to leave if Michelle Pfeiffer turns up.
Yeah, but I know you're going to leave if Tom Hardy comes knocking. So
no, I wouldn't. I would cheat on you, but I wouldn't leave you. I'd enjoy every minute of being with him, but I would come back to you, because that's what marriage is.
All right, I'd come back.
No, I won't want you now.
Fine. I think we can wrap it up there.
No, I'm mad at you now.
You're not mad at me.
I am.
You can't end this on being mad.
Well, it's then you can't do maddening things.
You like Michelle Pfeiffer, too.
Yeah, she's beautiful, but...
There you go, that's all you need to say. So, until next week.
Enough.
Until next week.
That's not
until
enough.
Next week.
That's not enough.
Why is it not enough?
Because you just...
Anyway, that's not all it is. I mean, she's a film star. There's a lot we could talk about. We could talk about Scarface and Al Pacino and what else has she done? Loads of stuff.
Yeah, you're such a fan.
Yeah. Catwoman. So she's still got that leather.
It wasn't leather, it was plastic.
Whatever. It's all good. With her money, she could afford to get
such a disappointment sometimes.
Why?
Because...
Should we have a poll who would leave their partner for Michelle Pfeiffer? I think I'd win.
Most of our followers don't even know who Michelle Pfeiffer is, I bet.
That's true. That's why.
Because we're old.
That's worrying. Anyway.
And she's old.
So,
Can't believe you'd leave me for a woman twice my age. Most people go for it the other way.
Yeah, but she's the exception, isn't she?
I don't know.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Don't even know you anymore.
Yeah.
You've ruined this whole episode.
And Liz Hurley.
Even Hugh Grant cheated on her. She must not be that awesome.
I don't know why.
That's just not true. I don't really think that.
What? That he cheated on her or she's not that awesome?
That she's not that awesome. I don't think it was her fault that he cheated. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't want to make an opinion. Don't get mad at me about this. Oh,
anyway,
she thinks Hugh Grant.
So, do you want to do our comment
on
online?
No, I didn't last time you did it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. Because then you were on your phone and then you started saying it all again. I was like, I just fucking said that.
Oh, yeah, I think we cut that out. Okay. So you can come and find us online at longdistancetomarriage.com where you can email us and shit. And Twitter, Instagram, Mr. Mrs. Distance, all one word. Good?
Sure.
Sure. All right, cool.
Bye.